Daniel 4, I think I read maybe a little of this last week, but I was more interested in seeing the order that we're given in Scripture. Let me just start back at verse 1. Daniel 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to declare the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers came in. And I told them the dream, but they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you, and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it, and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a bond or band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the heart of an animal, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that the message of this dream given to a pagan king is true. It's from you, that you do reign from heaven. And in the same way you did then, maybe in a way that was not evident then to the people of God, it wasn't evident to Nebuchadnezzar, but was nevertheless just as true as if it was seen. Help us our study in it, Lord, to see the message that is to us, to encourage your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we would go through something as a child, and I remember many times my parents did this, I was told what was going to take place. I went to the hospital. I was 5 years old, went to the hospital. I was 10 years old, went to the hospital to have things done. And in those times, being young like I was, I was told this. And also at other times when you're just afraid or something happens, it scares you or troubles you or upsets you or whatever it is. I was told that it was going to be okay. That's what I was told. I know parents can't decree this for their children. Sometimes it's not okay, ultimately. It can't be made right. But my mom, my dad would always, it's going to be okay. They would say what was going to happen. I had to have surgery when I was 10. They'd explain that. There wasn't a way to avoid that. They would be there with me. They would be waiting. They'd be nearby. But I had to go through it. And when it's done, it's going to be okay. And it was. So I want you to note in Daniel, as we've looked at this so far, a theme. Back in Daniel 1, you remember what happened there? They were taken, these promising youth, and they were taken to Babylon, and they were prepared to serve the king. And they were given a menu. And on the menu were things that Jews were not supposed to eat and drink. And they were given that menu, and they were placed in the hands of the eunuch, and he was to make sure they got fat, that they were robust and healthy. They were, in essence, being acclimated into Babylonian culture. They'd gone from their culture to a pagan culture, and what they did back then is no longer the rule. This culture says you eat these things. And so they were given that, and they purposed that they would not do it. And they sought that they would not do it. And they were granted a test, 10 days, and they were looked upon after the test and found that they were more robust than those who had compromised and eaten the pagan food. That's one thing we saw in chapter 1. In chapter 2, you remember Daniel was the only one who could give the interpretation of the dream and the dream itself that Nebuchadnezzar had. So that was another instance that in the first two chapters of this book where man or men faithful to God were set above other men. That is not always what happens with Christian people. We often are not elevated at all. And the world, as the Antichrist, will be able to run roughshod over the believers for a time. There's been many times of persecution. But in this time, when there is a lesson being taught, that is for all times and all of God's people, even if it doesn't happen to them just like this, we're being given a lesson. And Daniel was set apart and above, and his three friends were elevated when he spoke to the king, and so they were showcased by being the people of God and being faithful to him. In Daniel 3, you remember, that was the fiery furnace. When Nebuchadnezzar, inspired probably by the dream that he had in Daniel 2, built an image, and the image was him. And it was to be worshipped. And he said, you got to worship it or die in the fiery furnace. And Daniel's three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, would not do it. And they were thrown in the burning furnace, and they did not even have the smell of smoke on them when they came out. Another, like the son of man, was in there. Nebuchadnezzar saw four in there. The Lord protected them. And they came out unscathed. Now, we're not too in our study most recent of Daniel 5, where Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall for Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. And so in that case, again, Daniel was elevated. And in Daniel 6, which we also have not studied in this particular study, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and he was not even nibbled on. And they weren't hungry until the ones who accused him were thrown in there. And then, again, a distinction was made. And you remember in Egypt that the Lord made a distinction between the people of God and the people of Egypt. And that was, again, a special time. It was a time when God wanted to showcase that he was in charge. He was the one who was in control. Not them. Not Egypt. Although they were under the oppression of Egypt. So the theme we see, and it's also in Revelation. I'm not going to go into Revelation and point out those things tonight. But the point is that in Daniel, it's not first about the dreams and visions. It's about the sovereignty of God and the victory of God's people under God's sovereign rule, even in the midst of pagan culture. Now, we live in pagan culture. We are very pagan in this culture. I was thinking this week and praying for revival, and I mean, freedom has in our country been used exactly the way Paul told the Galatians not to use theirs, as a tool for the flesh. When you make people free, they're supposed to be free to do the will of God. And that's freedom. But instead, our society has become more in bondage to sin and proud of it. And that's where we are today. So freedom has been turned into a license for the flesh. But instead, it's to be a good thing. It's to be, and we should have freedom. And that's something that was fought for and has been fought for in many wars and our founding fathers and Revolutionary War and on up. But you see, freedom is to be for God's glory, for pursuit of God. And so Daniel teaches that the people of God, although they're under the gun, are victorious in their God. Now in Daniel 4, this is the last chapter in Daniel where we have Nebuchadnezzar. After this, in chapter 5, is Belshazzar. This is what we're heading to with Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is the king. He is a mighty man, a ruthless king. We can see that even from the way he talked in Daniel 3. You do this or you die. I mean, even our autocratic rulers of the day can't say that. They cannot make such claims. A king can do whatever he wants to do. And Nebuchadnezzar did what he wanted to do. He said, you do this or you die. And Nebuchadnezzar the proud, he was so proud. Look at verse 29 of Daniel 4. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty? Who talks like this? Proud people. Now that was after this dream. And again, the point being, and we saw it, and we're going to get to it, again, in verse 17, is that the decision has been made by the watchers. Now, those who are watchers, you know, we're really talking about angelic host, most likely there. they're carrying out the will of God. But notice the point being is that the sentence is by the word of the Holy Ones in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. Look at that. This whole dream of this big tree that was cut down and a band put over the stump for seven times was for this purpose, is to show the living people on earth a very basic truth. Three things are mentioned. That the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. That is not observable by the eye. We can observe it in a sense because we see the way things are. But you know, scientists will look at the world and they won't see it. Even though God ordered the world and it's full of complexity and order, they won't see that. Blindness. So this is for this threefold purpose. That the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. In other words, he's got his own place, our Father who are in heaven, but he rules in the kingdom of men. That's one thing. That he gives it, the kingdom of men, to whomever he will. Which means that the people who rule, God has decided to give rule to. Now raise your hand if you understand that choice that he makes. The Lord places in power whomever he chooses. Whomever he will, he gives it. And he gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. I would give it to John Wayne. I'd give it to Clint Eastwood. I'd give it to Ronald Reagan. I mean, I would make different choices. And the Lord did give it to Ronald Reagan for a time. But probably not Nebuchadnezzar. And the third thing, and sets over it the lowest of men. And Nebuchadnezzar was that. Not in strength or power, he was the highest. Not in influence and possession of lands, he was the greatest of kings. But in his character, he's the lowest, or of that class. It's not saying he was the absolute worst that could ever be, because I don't think he was. But he was of the class of the base men. The men who go just on their feelings or whatever they think or whatever they want, or whatever they think they can get away with, or whatever bring them the most pleasure. That kind of man, that was Nebuchadnezzar. And although it may appear that they took power by their strength, the Lord rules from on high among the kingdom of in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whoever he wills, even the lowest. Which means that even though we have elections, and even though in our elections we may make foolish decisions. I saw a poll last week that the current president, 71% of those who voted for the current president regrets voting for his reelection. 71%. Where they get these figures? That's the figure I saw. You can be foolish, but we have in power, whether it be Senate, House, mayors, governors, whatever it is, because of voters who sometimes vote selfishly or immorally or whatever, they can do that, and that's our fault. But We know the sovereignty of God, God's will of command, will of decree, His high sovereignty, He's the Most High God, that nothing happens that is not His will. So even though we may do what is wrong and make a wrong choice and bear the blame for that, we can never say, this is the greatness of our God, we can never say that we go against God's choice. Now, God has different reasons for His choice. In Nebuchadnezzar's case, it is to show just exactly what we see here in this dream, that the Most High rules. And sometimes the Lord does show that the Most High rules by placing over the kingdom of men the lowest. That gives more of a contrast to His greatness. And the Lord is perfectly in His right to do that. And He does it not just in our day, but in many, many days past. That's the fact. Whoever's been over the Catholic Church as a pope, there have been, you know, some who've been very benevolent and some who've been very militaristic. He's put in power people like that. Not that He is to blame for their being put there or their sin, but then in his sovereignty, who is going to say the Lord did not accomplish what He wanted to accomplish? Who can say that? Now, I've told you the difference in time past. There's a distinction in theology between God's will of decree and His will of command. God's will of command is you shall not commit adultery, for example, or you shall not murder. And if somebody commits murder, they have violated God's will of command, but they have not violated God's will of decree. Because God has commanded it, they have rejected it and gone against it, and that is sin. But to say that they did something that was outside of God's overall sovereign rule would be blasphemous. So this is what we're dealing with here. Nebuchadnezzar was evil. It was his own doing. But God placed him in power, in righteousness, to show the world the facts. And this was His sovereign decree. Now the dream is interpreted. Verse 18, this dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen, we saw. And Belteshazzar, you tell me what it means. Verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and on whose branches the birds of the heaven had their habitation. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong, for your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. That sounds a lot like the statue dream to this point, with Nebuchadnezzar being the head of gold. Verse 23. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men. Your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever He chooses. The seven times there, best guess is 7 years, although it's not specified. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Now that is a tall order. This whole dream is given so that the king of the earth right then would know that heaven rules. And until he knew that, he was not going to get any better. Verse 27, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps they may be a lengthening of your prosperity. So he basically tells him to repent so that this is not necessary. Learn the lesson now. But you know how preachers are, you know, that most ignored people on earth probably in most churches. So he didn't. It frightened him. He should have. And so I read you verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the 12 months. He was walking about the royal palace of Babylon, and he spoke, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling, by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" This is the way rulers of the world think. We have not had the temptations that world leaders have. And you can see in many world leaders just a crust of pride that just builds up. Now they may carry it into the office, but it doesn't get any better. They've got so much power, so much money, so much fame. They begin to believe things about themselves that aren't true. Others pump them up with flattery. And for long, to even comb their hair, they have to take a jet up to where their head is. It's so far above everything. They've got the big head. And they exalt themselves. And so when Nebuchadnezzar said that, verse 31, while the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you. And they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Best guess, I guess, from what we see there is that he went crazy. He lost his mind. His sense was taken from him. Since he was acting in a nonsensical way by saying what he said, that he was in charge and he was the greatest and all that, since he was acting crazy, then he actually became crazy. His dignity was taken away. His health. He ate grass like an animal. He lived outside where the dew fell upon him. His hair grew, his nails grew. Now we're told seven times existed during that time. Verse 34, at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. But he gets his mind back. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth, and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase or humble. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that this is to be our prayer for our leaders. And again, our leaders are in a very dangerous place, because it is clearly seen from Nebuchadnezzar that God takes great offense at pride. God resists the proud. The proud are an affront to God. They are a challenge to God. They're, of course, no challenge to God in the sense of being a threat. But they are saying they are God. They are in charge. They can make the rules. They can change the laws. They can set the times. And if God is really in charge, which he is, and people come up saying things like that, and remember, the Antichrist is going to do that. He's going to be like God. He's going to say he's God. And that's an offense. If somebody comes to my house, I get home tonight, knocks on the door, and says, "That's my wife you're living with." What am I going to do? "Well, okay, I didn't know. Thanks for telling me." That's an affront. That is not going to stand. Something's going to happen. And so all the time, rulers in this world are saying they're in charge. They oppress people. They throw away justice. They steal. They kill. They talk like they're some big shot. And in every case, every ruler of all time, from Caesars to presidents to kings, whatever they are, they all die. They all go away. And not all of them go away with wisdom, like Nebuchadnezzar ended up with when he realized that the heaven ruled. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we're to pray for the leaders that they be saved. And if they are saved, it helps life to be quiet and peaceable in all godliness and reverence. In other words, we don't have a king up there muddying up the waters by the power that he wields, making things worse morally for the people of God and for all the world. Now, that's not to pray for the policies of a ruler. I think more likely, as Christian people, we'll pray just about against every policy that rulers make in these days. I pray that the abortion policy fails. It's been on since 73 with millions of babies killed. I pray that fails. And I don't care if the president or Congress or anybody else says that it's the law. I hope it fails. And the reason it's up there and in power now is because of lost people. Saved people would never put abortion in as law. It's not constitutional either. But it's certainly not Christian. And there's a lot of other things we're against. And we don't have to pray for those policies to succeed. What we're praying for is that the leaders who are of all men in a most perilous situation, because without Christ, they do not have the wisdom of God that Solomon asked for when he took the throne. And so they do things that are to their everlasting shame, and will be judged by God. All of our deeds. And then these who are in most power have the most peril. And they need our prayers that they be saved. It would transform the world. And so Paul says, first of all, that needs to be done. And that God will answer those prayers. It seems in Nebuchadnezzar's case, from what we see in Daniel, that that was answered. That Nebuchadnezzar came to his senses. His mind was restored. What he used to think, he no longer thought. He even serves an example to his successor Belshazzar, that Belshazzar neglected. But that was the message of this dream. And if you know that, you know reality. And if you don't know that, you're living in a dream world. And so by the grace of God, Nebuchadnezzar got it. Gave the decree. This is the Most High God. Now he said similar things before, but here he means it. I mean, if our leaders get saved and we have prayer days, we'd had prayer days before, but this time they'll really mean it. It's going to be a different motivation. And God showed just what was the point of the dream. That the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets over it the lowest of men. If you have any comment on that, we can take some time for that.